We have a couple of minutes for question and answer. We have podium mics right here. Please keep your questions brief so we can have as many questions as possible while these three wonderful speakers are here.
Yeah, I want to say that each one of you that you gave excellent presentations. I'm really delighted to hear them all. My question is for Sean, though, is most directly involved with an area that I'm deeply concerned with, and that was the doing away with the fairness doctrine in 1987 by a Reagan appointee, and then having Reagan, when the legislature stepped in to reinstate it, he vetoed it. And I'm just wondering if there's any hope to ever get fairness back in so that people like Fox News and Rush Limbaugh can be put in jail where they belong.
I got to tell you first that I personally completely agree with your concern and think it's been tragic for the nature of our republic. However, I got to say, at Secular Coalition for America, we are focused on making sure we don't engage in mission creep, if you will. And so we look at issues in terms of, do they involve the separation of church and state specifically, or the acceptance and inclusion of non-theistic Americans? So where I personally think you're making an extremely valid point, for us to take that issue on, we need to make a case to ourselves that it involves specifically those types of issues for us to get involved. And if I could throw in something administrative that I forgot to mention is, I'll get spanked back in DC at my office if everyone here doesn't go to secular.org and sign up for our free action alerts. Doesn't cost you a dime. And then you find out what's happening in Washington with regard to our issues. And a lot of you have smartphones. You can just go to secular.org right now and get that information. And I think Mike has brochures that we can hand out. You can see brochures from Secular Coalition for America. Please, I don't want to get spanked, especially by Mike. So please do me that favor. Oh, by the way, Maggie, John, Ringo, Paul, George.
Gentlemen, thank you. Your energy is going in all the right directions. Sean, in particular, the issue of corporal punishment in still 20 of our states. Ohio got the 21st gate in. But 2 years ago in Phoenix, I read the proclamation that came from our humanist group about stopping corporal punishment. Well, the federal government may get into it, and we need your help to make sure we stop beating up on our children and they have the joy of learning. Thank you for what you do.
And maybe again, I try to talk about this issue from the perspective so that even if you are a dead-on libertarian, you would share our concern, because in addition to the point that you're very validly raising about where there is corporal punishment in many states, is specifically in even more states, there is an exemption within the law, and I referenced it a little bit in my talk, where schools that are not public schools, even in states that prohibit corporal punishment, say, well, that's allowed. And they literally will talk about how, well, this is part of the tenets of our faith, that this is permitted, because in the Bible it says something about the rod must be applied, that somehow they have a special privilege within certain religious congregations to use physical punishment of children in a way that's distinct from other children. Again, we think those children who are in fundamentalist religious schools that are getting hit, we think those children are human beings, and it doesn't matter what school they're in, they should not be being punished in that way.
Hi, my name is Chevy. I'm a life member of the AHA from Holyoke, Massachusetts, so there are a couple of ironies there. My question is directed primarily to Sean. I'm concerned about the disparity of income in our country. What will our lobbying office say to Congress with respect to two issues? The voluntary military, which I believe insulates the sons and daughters of the privileged from the hard decisions we have to make about war and peace. And also, illegal immigration. Many Americans not being paid a living wage. These tend to be the same people who actually vote against their economic interests.
I know that wasn't addressed to me, but I just wanted to give you a reason to be proud in the future, which is that George Jacob Holyoake was the man who invented the word secularism. in Britain in the 19th century, so you have a reason to be proud of the name of where you're from as well as...
Again, a lot of those issues are ones that I personally care deeply about. We as Secular Coalition for America, however, we tend to more focus on, is there, for instance, with regard to the military, and Jason Torpy, who just spoke earlier, can speak much more knowledgeably than I about this, but there's issues where there's significant overrepresentation of fundamentalists in the chaplaincy. There's situations where there are people in the officer corps who have engaged in proselytizing activity, sometimes even in uniform. These are the types of activities that we speak out against at Secular Coalition for America. Some of our 10 member groups, and I would point you in that direction, because some of our 10 member groups would tend more to move into the areas of economic justice, social justice in a broader way than we would at Secular Coalition for America, where we tend to keep fairly strict to the separation of church and state issue.
For my part, I think that at least a couple of the things you talked about are very closely tied to globalization. I believe that we were sold a bill of goods by those who advocated globalization as a way to improve our economy. And what we've seen as a result is the international transfer of capital without any kind of improvement in the laws concerning immigration. So we have an illegal workforce that comes here seeking better wages than they could make in their home countries, and they're kept at low wages because they can't protest. They aren't covered by our minimum wage laws. And at the same time, we've allowed the corporations who can afford to do so to move their plants overseas, where they're producing products at much lower wage rates and competing with U.S. companies, which are beginning to drive down wages. They've flattened wages for the last 30 years. I think globalization has been a real shock pulled over on the American people. It has increased the flow of money to the top. It's placed the Wall Street money managers, in a position of profiting on everything that occurs. Every Peruvian apple you eat, every Chilean grape you eat, a piece of that apple goes to Wall Street. And at the same time, we depressed agricultural prices for quite a while in Mexico with our corn exports to Mexico, although that's reversed now with the ethanol scam that's gone on. But for quite a while, it depressed farm wages and farm incomes in Mexico, which drove those people into the cities where they went to work for the maquiladoras that are producing goods for the American market. To me, all of those issues are tied together, and it's the reason we've seen the uptick in immigration and illegal immigration or undocumented immigration and also the depression of American wages. I think it all has to be fixed together, and that's a huge challenge for Congress, especially when it's controlled by the servants of the Wall Street bankers.
Firstly, I'd like to thank Sean, because I've been lobbying for 20 years and they didn't know about the nose hair clipping. Thank you for, that's a tip that I hadn't had before. Something that Councilman Bothwell said reminded me when he said he went to his local Unitarian Universalist Church, and that's that there was a strong presence of secularists, non-theists in the Unitarian movement for years, and that the fact that your minister is an atheist was an interesting comment, because that's not generally true of Unitarian Universalism anymore. And I did want to point out that the new president of the Unitarian Universalists Humanists is in the room, John Hoover right over there, and that he can help you put together, if you are church members, a group within your church to represent your values.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, there we go. I come from Wisconsin, which anybody don't know this, as one of the Midwestern governors from hell. And one of the things I'm doing is starting up school vouchers again. But my sort of question is they're almost hiding behind privatization. Now, the fact is, in Wisconsin, most of the schools, private schools, are religious and are Christian religious. But how do you handle it when they sort of hide behind a thoroughly secular thing like privatization of all schools?
Well, I have heard that argument. In fact, I've talked to some friends who come from a libertarian perspective who will say to me, well, it's okay because it's their money, and therefore it's acceptable to hand money that would then in turn go to religious schools. I disagree with that. Secular Coalition for America disagrees with that. We lobbied recently at the federal level. As you know, the federal government controls Washington, D.C., and that was a situation where that money would pass through to religious schools, and again, as you're describing Wisconsin, the exact same situation applies. The vast majority of schools are religious schools. There are a couple of private ones, secular private ones, but most of them are religious. And one of the things we did was just quote them. I believe from their website they talked about, Mike may remember the exact phrase, but something like soldiers for Christ, something like that, in the mission statement of a public school. Our tax dollars should not be transferred to an organization that refers to itself as somehow soldiers for Christ, or on a mission for Christ. That makes no sense, and it violates the principles of Madison, Jefferson. Kennedy was very clear in his Houston speech, absolutely opposed to that kind of thing. So I strongly encourage you, we lobby at the federal level, but we are organizing and want to organize a secular coalition for Wisconsin, love to work with you on that, where they could lobby both to their federal elected officials, but also, if they so choose, get together and organize to lobby at the state level as well. It's completely right to speak out against it. It's harmful to our children. Religious schools get to discriminate based on religion. Religious schools have a lot of freedom, if you want to use that phrase, to do things that are very exclusionary and cruel, and a lot of times don't have to include children with disabilities and lots of other things that mainstream schools have to do. So there's lots of insidiousness involved with it, and I'm glad that you think it's a problem, and I'd like to work with you to organize in this country so we can help change it.
I think there's a positive argument there as well. I mean, that's not positive to separate, but it's also the positive argument that public education helps create an electorate that has a common base of knowledge. And it's been our public school system in America that has helped create a unity in this country. It has helped us become the melting pot we became. And the more we share a common story, even with, we can have the peripherals, your religion, your book club, your model train club, I mean, they're specialties, but when we have a common story that we've all come to understand, it strengthens our democracy. And I think it's hugely important that we maintain that level of education for all, including the poor, because they're part of the story, and they're the ones who can't afford the private schools.
All right, we have one last question.
I think we need to have a serious discussion about how we, humanists and non-believers, can be more politically effective. Polls show that something like 15% of the American population are non-believers now. Now, 15% doesn't sound like so much, but in fact, that's more than the margin of victory in many, many elections. It's more, and that 15% translates into 45 or 50 million Americans. But we don't seem to be able to vote effectively as a bloc to make a difference in elections. Now, I understand that non-political organizations like AHA can't endorse candidates. We ought to be able to find a way that we become more politically, a bigger political force.
It seems to me that a big help in making that focus work is for candidates to come out. Often we don't know who the secular candidates are because they've been afraid to announce that they're that. And in particular, there's a campaign I know about you might want to donate to. But it's a reason to encourage elected officials. Like, there's another person who I know well in local politics in Asheville who agrees with me completely, but won't come out about it.
It's not just a question of the candidates coming out, it's somehow a question of we finding a way to be able to use our voting power more effectively.
First, I just want to take note, most of you know, but everyone should know that Ellery Shemp, when he was a high school student, participated in a lawsuit that really did a lot for separation of church and state, in religion out of public schools, and he is a historic figure and one of our great leaders. I want to make 2 points about that. One, you're exactly right. 15%, you can say 13, 15, 18, doesn't really matter. My office is at 17 and K in Washington, D.C. African Americans are about 13% of the American population, so it's a fairly significant number. And last I checked, there's a guy with a pretty good office about three blocks from me who's an African American. You can make a difference in this country with that percentage of population. And we need to organize to do so, and I'd suggest two things. Maybe it's not Secular Coalition for America per se, but at some point, thoughtfully, cautiously, but aggressively at some point, we need to create entities that are involved financially in political campaigns in this country, or we're not going to have an impact. We have to do it. So that's one. Secondly, in terms of our impact, I'll say it again, go to secular.org, check out our issues, but also, if whatever state you're from, we want to have a secular coalition for Wisconsin, we want to have one for Nevada, we want one in every single state of the union, because it's going to help AHA grow, and it's going to help our entire movement have political clout. We have to all do this together.
Please give it up for our speaker. We're a little over time, we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to have the other session. So take a little break and then come on back in. Okay.